Hello again, and welcome to another episode of The Addict's Advocate. I'm your host, Dusty Dean, and it is my pleasure to introduce a new acquaintance of mine by the name of Julie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, thanks for doing this on a Sunday afternoon. I tell you, this is the power of the internet. We get to talk coast to coast here. You're on the East Coast, and I'm here on the West Coast. So that's kind of a cool thing, the power of social media, the positive power of social media, right?
Yes, definitely.
So anyway, you've reached out to me, and I'm very appreciative that you want to share your story. And I really just kind of make this a conversation between us and kind of just see where it goes, the topics that we talk about, and kind of have some fun with it. And it's more so, you know, the original inception of this idea for me was just to let other people in this world know that they're not alone. The ones that are afraid to go to meetings, the ones that are afraid to get treatment. There's really some great people, brilliant people, empathetic people that I've encountered in my own sobriety journey. And it's something that I want to share with the world to make it less scary for those that are going, you know, I have a problem, but heaven forbid I step myself into a detox or something, because, you know, they have a stereotype about what sort of person they might be interfacing with. And I just want to squash that, you know, once and for all. So there are people just like you and me, and people that have accomplished a lot in their lives, people that have families. And so I think that it's good to get to all walks of life, you know, sharing their story, because I think it'll resonate even with just one person and give them the courage to go and seek help. So that's the mission of the Addict's Advocate. Yeah. So, but without further ado, I'm going to kind of give the floor to you and let you talk about your story of recovery. How did it start? How did it happen? What made you seek help? And let you go with it.
Okay, so I feel like my story is a little different because I was definitely led. I got arrested a lot, and that kind of led me to finally getting clean. Where I started was I always wanted to be older. You know, like I never like watched cartoons. I was always like into like hanging out with the adults. I never like found interest in doing anything that like kids would do. So when I was about 15, I started, you know, like smoking marijuana, drinking, hanging out with friends, sneaking around, sneaking out of our houses, like doing that at 15 years old. I was going to clubs with my aunt at like 15 years old, you know, so I started very young. And then probably around 16, I was hanging out with like me and my sister. We were hanging out with this like crowd of people, and they were a little bit older than us. And, you know, I was dating this guy at the time. He was older than me, and we started like going to like house parties, and I was introduced to a lot of things hanging out with him. Needless to say, I did with him, you know, I started doing like ecstasy, coke, a little bit of like heroin here and there, but like, and pills. Like I started basically everything at 16. Until probably around 17, I was a senior in high school, and I was actually, in my story, mind you, is always, there's always usually a guy attached to it as well, because I think that, you know, drugs aren't the only issue. We also have these like negative behaviors. We have like codependency. There's a lot of things that stem from addiction aside from the actual use. So, you know, at 17 years old, me and my mom were living together in an apartment, and she ended up going back to live with my stepdad. And she left me the apartment. I was in high school. I was 17 years old. She left me the apartment, and I was like, what am I going to do? Like, I can do whatever I want. Like, no one's watching me. I can do whatever I want. And the guy that I was dating at the time, he wanted to use heroin and coke, like, almost every night. And that's what we did. You know, like, I, very early on, and, like, as soon as heroin is my drug of choice, I, you know, latched onto it and went on. I graduated high school. Thank God. I don't really know how, but from there, I latched on to heroin and I just went down a roller coaster. I lost myself, who I was. I didn't even know, you know, the person that you're looking at right now definitely isn't who I was. I can't even comprehend some of the things that I did in my addiction. You know what I mean? So this went on for years, about 6 years. I was using heroin, you know, doing whatever I had to do, finding ways and means to get more. That's my story. It didn't matter. You know, I could tell you every bad thing that I did, but I'm sure we all did bad stuff, you know? So, I'm sure if you're in recovery, you can understand that we would go above and beyond to get our drug. And that's exactly what I would do. You know, there's a lot of shame that is attached to some of the things that I did in my active addiction that carried on for years after, you know? So probably around, I think I was 19 years old. I overdosed and, in the McDonald's parking lot. And, this woman was walking by and she, cause my, the guy that I was with, he left me in the parking lot basically. And, she walked by, she found me and, I was blue. They called the ambulance, you know, I almost died. That woman saved me. I don't know who she is, where she came from or what, but you know, I was brought back to life. And, from there, I woke up in the hospital. I'm like, what happened? Like trying to call somebody to pick me up. I'm like, I need to get out of here. And the police came and they're like, no, actually, you're arrested and we're taking you with us. So that was my first experience of getting arrested. I went there and I ended up, my dad actually bailed me out. And, you know, like that was my story. I would like run, get arrested. I was on house arrest. I went to prison for a year because, you know, I was on probation for a couple charges that I had. And, of course I wasn't like complying with my probation. So I ended up, you know, getting arrested. And then they're finally like, you know, you can't keep doing this. You're going to prison. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I'm not a criminal. I was like, wait a second. You know, I'm not a criminal. I am just a person that uses drugs. That's all. Like, that's all, you know, like I'm not hurting anybody else. In my mind, that's, you know, I didn't think that I was hurting anyone else but myself. But we know that's not true. You know, we hurt everyone around us when we're using. So I ended up doing the year in prison, got out, did the same thing. I got out. I started using again. I was on the run right away. A month later, so I'm from North Carolina, Wilmington, North Carolina. And I drove up here where I live now in New Jersey and to buy drugs. We made like a run. We were making a little run to come up here, come back, you know, do whatever. And I ended up getting arrested in New Jersey. And they brought me in and they're like, oh, you're going to jail. Like they found a bunch of stuff on us. And I ended up going to Middlesex County Jail in New Jersey. And I was like, I had no idea like where I was. I didn't know anyone, you know, like thank God. By literally the grace of God, my mom lives in New Jersey. You know, she moved here like years before I actually made this run. But I ended up sitting in jail for 10 months. And then while I was in jail, I did a drug program. And from there, I had someone come in. It was a task evaluator from drug court. So I ended up getting drug court for these charges that I had because I had been, you know, like I said, in prison and everything in North Carolina. So I told the task evaluator, I was like, because from being in there for 10 months and just having a clear mind and not using a substance, I was like, this is not what I want. Like, I don't want to live this way. There has to be something better, you know? I'm running, but what am I running from? Like, I wanted to find out. Like, I know what this is. I know what using does, and I know how it makes me feel, but I don't know how it is to live life. I've been using since I was so young. You know, I didn't know. Sorry, my cat's, like, jumping around.
Okay.
So I told the task evaluator, I was like, I need long-term treatment. I need long-term treatment because I had, like, prior to this, I had gone to two other treatment facilities for about 28 days. So I only, in those, that period of time, I stayed clean for about 3 months. Like, that was before all, you know, the stuff in New Jersey. I was clean for about 3 months, and that was only because I was living in a sober living house. And it really helped me, you know, it helped me in that 3 months, but like, I wasn't ready at that point. I wanted to like go experiment and do a little bit more. So fast forward, I said, yes, I need long-term treatment because I know 28 days is not enough for me. So I went to a 6-month treatment program. I was there for about 5.5 months, and I was on drug court. I ended up being sentenced to drug court. I don't know if you're familiar with that. So it's basically like a program through the justice system that they use to kind of, it's very strict. It's like probation times 10. You have to report every week. You have a lot, like you, it's a lot of structure, but it's exactly what I needed. I needed someone to tell me what to do because I had no idea what I was doing. Tell me exactly what you want me to do because I'm willing at this point, I'm willing to do something different, you know? So I went to the 6 months and it was the best thing that probably could have ever happened to me. I needed those 6 months. I worked through so many things in that 6 months. And then while I was there, they're like, you need to go to sober living. You need to do IOP, which is an intensive outpatient program. You need to report to drug court every week. You need to come to court every week. So I had all these things that I had to do. And I was willing. I was so done with using that I was so willing to do whatever you told me to do at that point. Because, you know, like you said, some people don't realize that help is available, but there's help everywhere. You know, like if you want it, it's available. And that place saved my life. From that place, I really think that it woke something up in me that I had never felt before. So, yeah, so I did that. I went to Oxford House. I completed my IOP program. I was on drug court for about 2.5 years. So I had to report for about 2.5 years to a probation officer. And life, you know, I got a job at Dunkin' Donuts for my first job ever getting clean. I was working at Dunkin' Donuts. I was living with a bunch of females that I had never done before, you know, really tried. And everything just kind of, I mean, I was a crazy person when I first got clean because I was so angry. I don't know why I was so angry, but I felt every emotion times 10. But I mean, I can't really explain to you how much life changes if you're willing and you have that. I really believe in a moment of desperation, like just being so tired of using that you're willing to do whatever it takes to change, you know? And since then, I went to school. I'm a mom now. I have a good job. Like, I'm a productive member of society now. You know, like all of those things that I never even thought that I wanted or needed, I have now. Life is not easy. There's always things that come up. You know, life will hit you every which way. But I know that as long as I hold on and I stay clean, I'm going to get through it because I always do. You know, like looking back 3 years ago, I was going through whatever I was going through. But now, you know, it's like fast forward, you don't really think about all of those things anymore. But in the moment, it feels so dire and like it's the worst thing in the world. But we always get through it as long as I stay clean.
You know, you've brought up just a whole bunch of, first of all, remarkable story. You've been sober for what, at least 3 years now?
No, I've been sober clean for 13 years.
13 years. Good for you. Yeah.
So that was like 2015. I graduated recovery. Okay. Yeah.
Very cool. You know, you had talked about, you know, just kind of going back to the beginning, right? There was this craving to want to hang out with the older kids. You know, I can understand that. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, when we start incorporating the things that older kids do, like unfortunately drugs and or just simply drinking, right? We start stunting our emotional maturity, right? We may feel mature enough from a physical sense, mm-hmm. and maybe a relationship sense, but we're not emotionally stunted. You know, we're emotionally stunted. And so obviously getting clean, right? That emotion is raw because now all of a sudden you have to process everything without mm-hmm. some sort of substance running through you, right? So I can definitely empathize with that because I felt the same thing. And that's what ended up happening with drugs and alcohol is that we start basically masking all those things that we don't want to feel anymore, right? And whenever we feel bad, well, we just go to our thing and then we feel better and we just kind of get on with our life, right? We don't process anymore. And yes, we've all got a storybook of shameful things that we did, mm-hmm. Some things that are downright miraculous that we didn't die, you know, and obviously you were at the doorstep. And so that's, you definitely had an angel in disguise that day that took care of you when you had OD'd. That's, and I think that there are angels walking around the face of the earth that are doing just that for those that, are hurting. You're right. 28 days isn't enough for anyone. But you know, the willingness to change your life, I think is such a huge, it's the first step to getting clean, right? Because we can deny all day long. We can contemplate if we have an issue until the point comes in our life where we go, hey, I'm done, 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 done. Cause that's what happened to me. I've got a very young sobriety. I've been sober since August 24th. So I'm not even a year yet. Mine was 20 years, of alcohol and marijuana. And there was a couple stints where I quit drinking, for a good couple of years, like maybe up to 6 years at a time, but I was still smoking daily. And I realized mm-hmm. that I just wasn't processing things. I've had some trauma in my life that was very difficult to handle. And so I just assumed not deal with it, not process it. And so I was stuck, you know, at an emotional age that was younger than what I am. So, you know, I can appreciate, just, you know, those things in this journey that we have, because yeah, if all of us recognize what addiction really was, you know, the first end or we felt like we were getting out of hand, nobody would be an addict for greater than a couple of weeks, right? They would, you know, but this thing creeps in on us and all of a sudden we have years under our belt and something mm-hmm. that we're now, it's a vice in order just to get through the day. As far as spirituality, do you find yourself, you're spiritual now, or how's your faith?
I have a higher power. Yeah. I would say spirituality, yes, but yeah. You know, not, I believe in God, you know, but yeah. I'm not like, I don't go to church or anything like that, but definitely, you know, I meditate, I pray as much as I can. I think I could definitely be better in my spiritual realm, but it's definitely there and yeah. It carries through.
I hear you. It's just something that I was just personally curious on. Because yeah, I think that, you know, I think the relationship does change because life is better clean, right? Life is better sober. Sure. We still have to deal with the same shit that anybody else would have to, but we're at least sort of clear mind and body to, in order to address the struggles in life. And, you know, pain is inevitable in this life, and it's there for a reason, I believe. What sort of things did you find were very valuable in your rehabilitation education? What are the things that you still like carry with you?
I think a lot of it was like the groups that I had in treatment at the long-term program that I went to. One of the counselors, he was very amazing, and he would push things out of you. He would get you to talk about things you did not want to talk about. But that place, it just, you know, I talked about grief. I talked about shame. I talked about being a child of an alcoholic, you know, having that black and white thinking, and just actually dealing with so many things. And I felt like I could trust my counselor so much that I could tell her anything and she would just look at me and nod. She would not judge me. And they do a thing at this treatment facility. Well, it's different now, but they used to do this thing where before you left, you had to tell a secret that you held on to. And it was just like so amazing, like being free of that. And, you know, we even work through trauma, you know, dealing with sexual abuse and all of that, you know, like, we actually processed so many things, and that is truly what I needed. I needed to face all of these things that I had just stuffed down. I needed to face them and actually be like, okay, these things happen to me, but they don't make me who I am. They're not going to hold me back anymore. Like, I'm not going to be a victim to what someone else did to me, or, you know, be a victim of these things that happen, because people always go through things, you know, and it's okay, but we have to get through them. We can't allow them to pin us up in a corner and not move. And that's how I was.
Yeah. You brought up a couple another good points. Secrets. Yeah. It was absolutely liberating for me to do the same thing, because I had a couple of things that I was holding on to that once I relinquished it, everything was just so much lighter. But it is a blessing to have, because I know that a lot of counselors are people that have, you know, struggled with addiction themselves. And so finally meeting somebody that you can be truly raw with and not be judged because of it. I think that's a sacred thing, to have that community, right? That sober community that understands you, and because again, there are people in this world that don't get it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, it's important again to separate the disease, right? This is a disease, right? This is something that, you know, it's, I always say, you know, somebody that has diabetes doesn't say, I am diabetes, right? They say, I have diabetes, right? And again, I have a disorder, you know, and it affects me in a whole bunch of peculiar ways. Mm-hmm. With regards to triggers, do you find that you have any still, or do you feel like they're all gone?
I wouldn't say that. I think it's different now. Because I think after so long that you have, you know, clean or sober, the triggers change, you know, where it's like, okay, I'm an adult now, I'm older, and I'm at a wedding or I'm at a birthday party and these people are drinking and it looks fun, you know, like it looks nice. I never got to drink like a nice, cute little martini. And I'm like, oh, that martini looks very, very good. But I think that's kind of how I get triggered. But I'm like, okay, I know me. And I know that if I was to ever relapse, like I would drink one time and then I'd be off to like what I really want. You know, right. That's just how it is. It's a little different, but yeah, it's like you have to find like an acceptance that no matter what, I can't drink or use.
Yeah. You obviously said that you have your meditations and you pray. Any other sort of new routines that you've, you know, that are new in your life that you didn't think about, that now it's just, it's something that's extracurricular for you that helps you?
Yeah, so probably about, I want to say 3 years ago, I really, well, when I first got clean, I was like a workaholic. I would just work. But then probably about 3 years ago, I really started getting into fitness and working out and doing a, like this one certain like class. It's like a HIIT workout. But mentally, it has helped me tremendously. It's now one of my coping skills to get through, you know, when I'm going through something stressful, I can go to the gym. Like that's for me as an outlet. I feel like it's, I'm not like, oh, I have to go to the gym. Like it upsets me when like days go by and I can't go. And I'm like, oh crap. But then when I get there, it just makes me feel better, you know? So that's definitely one of my routines. I wish I could tell you that I love to wake up early and do like, you know, all these cool things, but I don't. I like to sleep. That's a routine for me that I love to do. But I just try to put self-care first, you know, like I'll go get massages or I'll go get my nails done, just like things for myself that are only for me.
Yeah, me as well. I'm definitely big on the self-care because, again, if we're not good for ourselves, right, we can't be good for anybody else. And when we're in our addictions, right, that usually takes up time in our life. So not having to deal with the time that we do dealing with our addictions, right, we're left with all this vacant time. And so now we have to fill it in a sense, right, but not, again, you know, not become a workaholic, not become out of balance in some other way, shape, and form, right, because that's just not healthy either, right? So I'm the same way. I try to keep myself occupied in exercise and fitness, try to make sure I'm paying attention to my diet, right? So it's, you know, it is mind occupying. What sort of gems of wisdom would you like to share with somebody who you think that might be in your type of situation? What would you say to them?
Something when I was going through addiction.
Well, just as far as like if you were to meet your younger self in the form of somebody else that was dealing with this, what would you say to them? How would you help them off the ledge?
I mean, I would say don't even open up that door. Don't, you know, and if it does open, then that's another story. But, you know, just really get to know yourself. Get to know who you are, what you like, and know that it's okay. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be the person that everybody else wants you to be, or, you know, you don't have to like escape through eating or using or people, you know, like just be yourself and allow, you know, yourself to just go on a journey of life, enjoy life. Because, I mean, I have a 4-year-old daughter, and I would just say, read, study, stay in school, you know, like really, I think those are the things that I didn't do. I hated school. I sucked at reading. But if you really focus on it, like all of those things are important, like being a child, allow yourself to be that child that you are. Don't grow up so fast, because right. I tell my daughter this too. I tell her, don't grow up fast, you know, like just enjoy who you are right now. Enjoy this person. I mean, she doesn't understand what I'm saying, but you know what I mean? Like
she's four. Yeah.
It's very valuable, I think, to be present and right. Enjoy where you're at and not always look for the next thing. You know, that's around the corner.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Future thinking, as well as, you know, dwelling on the past, I think are both very deadly things that that rob us of the present, right? But I think that's beautiful. I'm excited for you and for your life, and for the short time that I've gotten to know you so far, I'm excited to see where you're going from here. And I think at the very least, you're definitely a strong advocate that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and that people can get better, even when it seems like all hope is lost. I don't really have anything else for you. I think that we've done quite a bit here tonight, and I'm going to leave it open to you if there's anything else that you want to say. You know, I think there maybe comes a point when we can do a check-in maybe down the road and, you know, touch base and give you time to process this interview as much as I will. And I may have some more questions down the road and just, you know, in just our development, right, as human beings. I think this is important.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was just going to say, do you work in the addiction field or is that something that you want to do?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've been to NA meetings and AA meetings, and, you know, one of the steps, right, is of being of service. And I feel like this is a good way to be of service for those that, I've been able to talk to, I've had interviews with people that are NA speakers. I've been through, you know, a full 30-day detox. Then they addressed my mental health aspect of it, which was very important for me because I realized that I was dealing with things on that end. And so for me, medication's been saving. It's been highly saving, because I know I'd probably be bouncing off the walls without it. And so this is providing me a use of my creative juices to be able to do this, this podcast. And I've been through an IOP. I've finished an IOP as well. I'm in an aftercare program, and I've actually got myself now a small local community of guys that, we just go and we'll sit and hang out for an hour or so once a week just to kind of touch base and see how everything's going. And, you know, and addictions of all ranges, right? Cocaine, Adderall, prescription pills. It's interesting how, right, there's so many different ways in which somebody can get addicted, but yet, you know, the struggle is all very similar, right? That's something that, you know, I want to convey to people out there that just think that, you know, nobody understands me. Nobody understands what I've been through. Nobody understands why and how I cope this way. You know what? We get it. We so get it. And we're not going to judge you for it because we've been on that side. So I think that, you know, that there needs to be, you know, there's so many opportunities, like you said, to get help. And there's so many people that get it and care, and they're not going to be, you know, looking at you, you know, like a judge, jury, or executioner. They're going to be looking at you as a friend and somebody that wants you to get better because they've gotten better and they know what it feels like. They know that there is hope. And there's beautiful things. There's so much to accomplish in being present and sober in life. So
yeah, absolutely. That's amazing that you guys do that. I think, you know, what they say in meetings, men with the men, women with the women, but there's an amazing bond that you can have with other, you know, men or women in recovery.
Yeah. And I think that it's always important. I'm so thankful that you wanted to take part in this because I want as many different perspectives on, you know, the struggle, what that looks like. Because I think, like I said, it's one small jewel or something that, you know, just totally sees themselves in the other person and says, they get it. You know, this is exactly the way that I feel. I thought nobody, my family doesn't get it, right? Because I mean, the worst thing we can be doing is being surrounded by a bunch of normal people, right?
Yeah.
Right. That's the worst. And I have it in my family, even though I have addiction on both sides of my family. I have, for the most part, everybody in my immediate family are normal people and they don't get it. Yet they've seen it in their parents. So it's kind of remarkable, but you know, it is what it is. So yeah, it was the best decision I ever made in my life. Best decision by far. And I felt like I accomplished a lot. And when I was, you know, even when I was under, right, I did a lot. I did accomplish a lot of things, and I'll never forget it. I told it to a counselor when I was in my 28 days. I'm like, hey, when I was high or drunk, I mean, I did this, and this, you know, to better myself and my life. And he goes, wow. He goes, just think about what you would have done if you weren't. I was like, well, yeah, he got me there.
Yeah, right.
Right. So, anyway, Julie, I'm gonna let you have the rest of your Sunday evening, but I appreciate the time. Okay.
Thank you so much. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. You take care, okay?
You too. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.